It's the Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
All right, good afternoon. Should be a fun show today. I've got all sorts of special treats for you. Matt Sheehan from the Times Herald is here.
Woo!
Brady Beaton's going to call in the 4 o'clock
really?
Hour, and he's going to explain to me the FBS and what is going to happen. And he seemed very confident that he can explain this whole thing to us and tell us who the final four teams are going to be.
Wow, that's Brady Beaton insight. That's priceless right there.
So I thought for comic relief, we'd allow that to happen.
There we go. Oh, man. Good old Brady.
Very confident young man. Well, when last I talked to you, we were putting the wraps on a high school football season.
Yeah.
Saw Algonac reach the semifinals. Deckerville got to the championship game.
Yep.
And then they ran into an NFL quarterback.
Seriously. Yeah, that was... A grown man playing with boys. Yeah, that's crazy.
Whitens was his name?
Yeah, Whitens, however you pronounce it.
Six touchdowns, 350-something yards rushing.
I did the math, and if you're a fantasy football player out there, this would make a lot more sense, but I did the math, and he had 80 fantasy points that game, and normally 30 is like a good game, but yeah, so all six of those touchdowns looked effortless, too. It was unbelievable watching
him play. Now, that's, and I always get this question, well, if he played 11-man football...
Yeah,
I don't know. I get a feeling when a kid does that in a game, he's going to be good no matter what field you put him on and against who you put him
against. Yeah, exactly. I walked away from that field thing, and he could start at quarterback for, I would want to say, just about any school that's going to Ford Field this week, but save a few.
Yeah. So the high school football season wrapped up, and that means we're getting into our winter sports, and ladies basketball is getting going. In fact, we'll both be at a game tonight. I understand it'll be the same game.
Yeah.
Port Huron Northern and Marysville. Port Huron Northern has been the top girls team for the last few years here. I mean, they've made two quarterfinal runs in three seasons. Mm-hmm. And basically, they've got minus one player, the whole team coming back this year.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Now, it's a good player that they lost.
Great player, yeah, for sure. Yeah, Keanu Vadova, in my opinion, the best defender in the area. Ever since I've been up here, this is only my third girls basketball season, so it's not saying a lot. But still, I mean, she's a really good player, but man, do they have some talent coming back.
Whew. They are loaded. Bree Bauer just committed to Lake Erie.
Yep.
But she's still got her senior year to play here at Northern. She'll be a bigger weapon, I think, this year in the post. I mean, they've had her there. They had her there last year. But they didn't always need her. That's the unique thing about these Northern teams the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Is every night somebody different leads them in scoring. Somebody different leads them in rebounds.
Yep.
You know, somebody different is the key to them winning the game.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so I was at just talking with Mark Dickinson about Bree Bauer signing and stuff like that. And I asked how has she improved from last year. Because, I mean, she really did have a breakout year, especially from January on. Where she started putting up, it seemed like 20 points every game. But Mark Dickinson said usually she's a post player, but now she's got an outside shot, better ball handling. That's got to be scary for other teams to hear if she could shoot the outside shot along with Kendall Keys, Kathleen O'Connor, and Sammy Klink, too. I mean, that's going to be a fun team to watch this year.
Sammy Klink should be fun because she's the Vinnie Johnson of area girls basketball. She can come into a ball game and heat it up fast. She doesn't need a lot of minutes to score points.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and just like in last year's postseason run all the way to the quarterfinals, I mean, if she's not on the team, I don't think Northern's in the quarterfinals. I mean, she had a great regional tournament to really push the Huskies through there.
And no surprise that all these girls are really good athletes. They play volleyball, and you know, they play basketball. A lot of them are multi-sport athletes, and no real surprise there.
No, not at all.
So Northern looks pretty solid to you. It's going to be interesting to see how Marysville does, because primarily they lost two of the top players in the area that they had last year. I mean, Peyton Husson, all she did was 20 points and 20 rebounds every single night.
Yeah.
That's impossible to replace.
Right on. Yeah. And just like I was telling you off the air too, like she wouldn't just block shots. She would catch them. I mean, she's 6'4". When someone low 5 foot, what would come in and shoot a layup, you would just catch it, run the fast break, and then it's two easy points right there. So yeah, they're really going to miss her. And Devin Valico, Shanna Curley too. I mean, Curley was, talk about Vinnie Johnson being a heater out there. I mean, yeah, she could really swing the momentum of a game too with just two, three quick shots from behind the arc.
So that'll be interesting because that's, you know, your three best players from your last year's team are gone. So who steps in to fill those roles? And again, there isn't anybody who can step in and and do what Husson did. You know, a freak of nature there. You get a girl that tall,
and athletic,
that
yeah.
dominant,
right?
Yeah, with that kind of skill set, those don't come around. But every decade or so,
yeah,
if you're
seriously.
Lucky,
yeah, if you're lucky, yeah, right on. Same with Valico too. I mean, just the tenacity she played with too is pretty rare to see, especially in the girls' game. I mean, she was on the floor. I mean, whenever there's a ball loose, you could count on her being the one diving after it. And not only was she gritty, but I mean, man, she could shoot. I mean, automatic from the free throw line. So yeah, I mean, they're gonna miss them this year.
Now we're a little uncertain about everybody in the area until you get to see them play a little bit. But Marine City was a team that I thought made big strides last year. Interested in watching them play this year.
Yeah, I even remember sitting in the gym 2 years ago, and they started four sophomores and a freshman. I'm thinking, wow, in 2 years this is gonna be a fun team to watch and the team to beat arguably in the area, save for here in Northern. But I mean, and here they are. I mean, they're gonna be starting the four seniors and a junior again this year. They're gonna have a fantastic team, especially in that division,
and they've got some shooters.
Oh yeah,
and they seem to have the right pieces for that.
Yep.
St. Clair and Port Huron High again. Till I see them, it's going to be hard to judge what they're going to have this year. But the Brown girl is gone at PH, as you mentioned before
Sydney
we
Brown,
got on the air, Sydney Brown. So she was a big piece for them as well. But it just seems like they've been kind of rebuilding for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And so for St. Clair and Port Huron, I mean, they both got to replace two big keys kind of. And St. Clair, you go down, and Brookmont is a big name to replace. But Brad Robbins is out at St. Clair's girls basketball coach. So they got a new coach stepping in, so we'll see if he can hit the stride. But Robbins and the new coach, they're pretty good buddies. They were on the same staff together, so I think they'll hit the stride.
All right, so girls basketball getting full swing. The boys will start here pretty soon as well. And I think the team still to watch is St. Clair, and the name that we will be talking about a lot when we talk boys basketball is going to be Ben Davidson.
Yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah, pretty good player. No, he's going to be electric.
During the football season, they sat in the stands with their hands over their eyes going, please don't hurt this kid.
Yeah, seriously, right.
And he had a great football season.
Oh, phenomenal football season. Yeah, I would take him on my football team without a doubt, yeah.
But if you're a basketball coach, you're kind of like, I really wish he wouldn't play football.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting boys year because I feel like almost every team has lost some key players, like big key players. Like Port Huron Northern, you go to Cody Badger, Jared Welsh, Port Huron, BJ Drake, Yale, Kegley, obviously, is a big loss. But so, yeah, it's going to be a wide open basketball season in the area, I think.
The BWAC is always fun. Does anybody stick out?
Oh, for boys basketball? Oh, man. Again, it's hard to count out Yale. Just with how well Garnett Kohler coaches over there. I mean, you always can count on him having the team ready. But, man, oh, man, if one team sticks out, I got to be boring and say no. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be boring on the radio right now. But
yeah. That's all right. That happens occasionally.
I'll get you in 3 weeks.
My show are generally bored 5 days a week.
Ouch. Man, but they keep coming back to you, Dennis. You know, that's
it's like that rash you can't get rid of.
That's a great tagline for the radio show. That's great.
As you get the voice guy in here, the Dennis Stuckey Show, the rash you can't get rid of. So yeah, it's like the car accident. You keep driving by and looking, even though you really don't want to see.
Ouch.
What's in there? You were at the Larry Mann's this weekend.
Yes.
For the final day. Clearly, of our four area teams, Northern's still the one.
Oh, yeah.
to beat. Even though when they get back into league play, they're going to struggle again this year. I mean, I've already seen them against Catholic Central. And now to later this week, Thursday, I'm going to see him against Brother Rice. But the line of Corey Easton, Noah McNutt, and Austin Barless had 27 points in two games. Three players, 27 points in two games.
Not
in
too
that
shabby
tournament.
9 points a player. That's okay. That's not bad at all.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, man, that's crazy.
Every time they were on the ice, they dominated the action.
Yeah, so. I mean, it really seemed like they were playing at a different speed than anyone else this week. And yeah, definitely an impressive start to the season for those.
And that's the thing about it. You just hit it right there. They're playing at a different speed. Mm-hmm. And that's out of necessity, because
right,
if they don't play at that speed in their league game, then they're the team on the other end of a 13-0 beatdown.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But, hey, it's all about building to the end of the year. I mean, I talked to Coach Darryl McCarroll yesterday. I mean, he'll say that. It's just about building to those showcases that they go to and the end-of-the-year tournament. So we'll see how Northern can do, see if they can keep any of the league games competitive and surprise a few of us.
We did have a surprise. You guys reported it as far as wrapping up football, but Coach Nesbitt will not be back at
right.
St. Clair.
Right. Crazy.
Surprised by that. I can just tell I'm talking to you.
Yeah, no, without a doubt I was surprised about that. I had a former player text me. This is a while ago. But like, hey, I hear that Nesbitt's not going to coach next year. I'm like, that sounds pretty ridiculous. But sure enough, yeah, I mean, here we are. So, yeah, a lot of questions up in the air right now. Not a lot of answers. But, yeah, I know a lot of current players, former players are upset about this. He was not just a great coach. Because even though they didn't make playoffs the last 2 years, you can't deny what he did in his 12 years there. I mean, those are arguably the best 12 years in St. Clair's program history.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I don't even know if it is arguable, actually. But, yeah, so to see him and Chad Miller both let go is definitely a stunner, because they had so much youth on the team this year, a lack of depth, and I was surprised with how well they did this year. I know they didn't make playoffs, but with all things considered, I thought they had a pretty successful year, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, whoever's coming in is going to inherit a real good player in Ethan Mon,
yep,
who's got a couple more years
right
to play there, and he already had an unbelievable year this year.
Yeah.
But I'm a little – it's kind of – we're in a gray area with this program, because a school the size of St. Clair, and they only got about 20 kids coming out for football. So.
Yep. Yeah, and
there's a red flag there somewhere.
Right, and me and Joseph Hayes were talking in the office yesterday, like, what if a new coach comes in, some kids don't like the new coach, and let's say four more players don't show up next year. I mean, Joseph said it best, you can't go to the high teens if you're St. Clair. Like, you can't have 18 kids come out next year or 19 kids.
No, not playing in the MAC.
No, no.
Where you got in the gold division, you're crossing over with blue teams.
Yeah, and you're playing Port Huron Northern, who will have 50 on their sideline. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, yeah, that's... Whew. Interesting.
Marysville and Marine City don't exactly field small teams either.
No, no.
So,
really interesting.
And we see
situation.
Some of the schools, like a Lakeshore or like a Tower, when they do come in and they've only got, you know,
right,
18, 19 kids, you see what happens to those teams.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's a bummer. I mean, because I think Bill Nesbitt's a good guy, but you know, maybe he's just like that around me just because I'm quote unquote the media. But no, he is not, because I hear from a bunch of former players, parents, colleagues, just saying how great of a guy he actually is with the kids and the parents and everyone around the St. Clair program too. So I mean. It's a big loss. It's a big loss, not just for the coach, but I think for the actual man he was to all these kids.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk a little college football stuff, too. Kind of get ourselves warmed up for when Brady solves all our problems.
That's true, yeah.
Later on in the program.
Dr. Brady, checking in.
The reminder that today is the final Inside Michigan Football program. It comes up at 5 o'clock with Jim Harbaugh and Jim Brandstetter. The Tom Izzo Show is on Friday this week, but starting next week, it will move into the Tuesday slot. And he can tell us why, in his right mind, he scheduled all top 25 teams to play against in preseason this year. Anyways, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM.
Back to more Dennis Stuckey on Information 1380 WPHM.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, no, we didn't go away. We're still here.
I have a full beard now, though.
The Inside Michigan Football with Jim Harbaugh, Jim Brandster, coming up at 5 o'clock. We run the show 24 hours later. So it actually took place last night. I've actually heard the opening segment that we're going to play for you at 5 o'clock. And, yes, it's all about the bad calls.
Did he make the show, Harbaugh? I don't think he showed up.
He's there.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
He's there because I just clicked and was listening before
gotcha.
Earlier today, and he was complaining about the bad calls.
Yeah. Was that immediately after the game or on the Brandsetter program?
I think that's with Brandsetter.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, there are some bad calls. Here's the thing. Ohio State and Michigan are still better than everybody else but Alabama, in my opinion. But here's the thing. There's this stigma that we have to take teams that win their championship games.
Yeah.
Why? Why do we? If they're not as good, if you run into a unique situation like this where, you know, hey, Penn State and Wisconsin are in the Big Ten championship game. They both lost to Michigan.
Right, yeah.
So why, just because through a technicality, Penn State gets to play in the game, why does that make them suddenly better than Michigan and they deserve to be in the playoffs over the Wolverines?
In my opinion, Penn State is done at this point. Like I don't think even if Penn State wins the Big Ten title game, I think they're out. Wisconsin, I feel like a case can be made for. They only lost by a touchdown at Michigan, and that was earlier in the season. They brought Ohio State to overtime. So really, I think those three are right with each other in the same neighborhood. Would it be tough to make that decision, even though Michigan won that head-to-head? Yeah, of course it would be, but this is why you have the conference championship games to mean something. So in my opinion, I think it's Bama, OSU, Clemson, Washington. Those are the four teams I would have right now. Of course, unfortunately for Clemson and Washington, they could hurt themselves. Playing this conference championship game only hurts themselves. OSU, this is sweet. They could play Xbox on Saturday, and they still got the two seed locked up. I mean, it's what a time to be alive for them.
They're 11-1, and they're going to stay 11-1.
Right, right.
Whereas Clemson has to beat Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And if they don't, they're in a little bit of trouble.
Right.
And Washington has to beat Colorado, and if they don't, they're in a little bit of trouble.
And that's crazy that playing the conference title game can actually hurt you as far as getting into the college football playoff. That is what I think is backwards, but how do you fix that is the problem. I mean, it's tough. It's easier to say it than actually doing it. So
the bottom line, though, all things being equal, where Michigan put themselves in trouble was losing to Iowa.
Right.
If you don't lose the Iowa game, it changes the complexion of everything, because you're not really going to get punished for losing in double overtime at Ohio State.
True.
I mean, even look at it. They stayed at number three after the loss at Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They stayed at number three after only beating Indiana by 10 points and not having their quarterback, and their quarterback being up for grabs at that point for the Ohio State game. Nobody really knew after the Indiana game that Wilton Spate would be back, would play in the Ohio State game. And yet, the committee kept him at number three both weeks.
Yeah, a lot happened, though, that week when they faced Iowa and lost. I mean, I feel like every team inside the top 10 lost, it felt like. So I think that was the reason for them sticking at three. But yeah, I think what's going to happen tonight when the rankings come out is going to be Alabama 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Michigan 4, and then Washington 5. I mean, come on, this is still a business. You want drama. You want people talking about your sport. So yeah, what's going
to
happen.
You want to force Clemson and Washington to have to win their football
games. Exactly. So it's going to create buzz, going to create controversy, and that's what they want with these rankings. So yeah, I think when it comes out tonight, Michigan will still have that four spot, but will a Washington conference title, say they beat Colorado, should they get them in? I think absolutely. It'd be foolish not to give a conference champion with one loss that spot.
So. I was looking, I don't know, I read about 52 articles to try to sound semi-intelligent about this. Michigan's strength of schedule was 14th in the nation. Washington's strength of schedule, 67th.
Yeah, that sounds about right, though. They've also had really good games, though, against those top teams like Washington State. I mean, obviously, it's not a team that strikes fear in you. It's no Ohio State by any means, but still a top 20 team, and they laid it to them pretty well. It's just that one game that sticks out is the USC game. And it's a shame that USC has three losses, because I think right now they're playing as one of the best teams in the nation, arguably maybe in the top four, but there's no way they're going to get in. I mean, they got three losses already, so.
People think the Oklahoma-Oklahoma State game might matter if you get Clemson or Washington or both of them losing.
Right, and I think what can help Oklahoma here, the only thing that they can do is not just win the game, but absolutely roll Oklahoma State, kind of what Ohio State did 2 years ago when they snuck into the college football playoff and eventually won the national title. I think it was Wisconsin they played in the Big Ten championship game. And they won, I think the score was 843-6. I might be lowballing that, but they blew them out, and that blowout was the exclamation point and really got them into the top four, because they were on the outside looking in headed into that final weekend.
I vaguely remember that game. Yeah, that was pretty close to the score.
Blew them out. Yeah, seriously, it was unwatchable after 5 minutes. It was like, well, this game's already over. So, but yeah, it's statement weekend, because for a team like Oklahoma or even a team like Penn State and Wisconsin, like a win isn't going to be enough. You got to just put the throttle down. I mean, so we'll see.
Yeah, that especially for Penn State, if it's a one touchdown game, it doesn't really. Yeah. If it's like last year's Michigan State Iowa game, where it was clear cut that the winner was going to get in.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't. Well, they have to win by so many points to pass this guy and this guy to get in. It was clear cut. The winner of this game is going to be the fourth team.
Yeah,
that gets in. We're not in that situation.
No, Penn State has to win by like 30 or 40 just to have a prayer at making it. I mean, even if they do that, I don't think they will. Wisconsin can really help their cause with a big win, though.
College football is so different from all the other sports. Like college basketball, we look at what Michigan State is doing right now. They're 4-3.
Yeah,
they're going to be 4-4 after tonight's loss at Duke.
It'll be a bloodbath. Yeah,
just that's just the state of the condition. But it doesn't matter. All
right.
That matters is how they're playing come March.
Exactly.
And are they good enough to get into the tournament? And then at that point, you don't know what's going to happen. College football is different. You can lose a game in week two of the season, and you're playing for nothing the rest of the year, it seems like.
Right. Look at Oklahoma. Two of their first three games were losses. And now, they're on the outside looking in. So it's bananas.
It's almost unfair, but I don't know how to resolve it. I don't even know how I feel about the whole playoff thing, so I don't know if I want to have a discussion about expanding it.
It's going to go to 8 eventually. It only makes sense, I think. I mean, what's one more game? It's going to be one more game of great ratings, great business for the sport. It's going to get more teams in it, obviously. So, I think it should go to 8 as well when they'll actually do it. I don't know.
Probably sooner than later if money is involved. Anyways, got to take
money's important.
Yeah, money's important. Got to take a break. Speaking of money being important, hour number two is coming up, and we're expecting a call here from Brady Beaton to explain all this to us.
The Dennis Stuckey Show is on. Information 1380 WPHM.
All right, welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show. Matt Sheehan is still here. He's going to hang out. He couldn't resist this segment when I told him that Brady was going to come on and solve all the FBS problems of the world.
Yes, our savior.
Yes, I will. Matt wants me to go on. He'll have one or I'll have the other. We'll row the boat from Kalamazoo to the college football playoff.
Yes. Yes, now we're talking. There we go.
All right, besides Alabama, who's in?
All right, Clemson's going to beat Virginia Tech. That's a given. Then Washington's going to beat Colorado. Jake Browning's too good.
How confident are you with that Washington pick? Because I really do feel like Colorado could give him a run for their money here.
I'd say I'm 75-80% sure.
Okay, I like those odds.
And I still think Michigan's better than both those teams.
Losses
be damned.
I disagree still.
No, I will disagree with you there. And the fourth team should be the Big Ten champion. It will be Ohio State.
So Ohio State with the 4 seed, you say? Like, are these the seeds that you expect too, or are you just throwing out four teams?
I'm just throwing out four teams. It'll probably be Alabama, Clemson. I think the committee will at least punish Ohio State for not getting making the conference title game. They'll drop to 3, maybe 4 if they want to guarantee that matchup.
Ooh, that'd be crazy.
But But Michigan has absolutely zero shot, barring a plague.
Barring a plague. Wait, how big is this plague? Is this plague big enough to get MSU into a bowl game? Is a plague that big?
That would require like 80% of the population on Earth to die. So no. I'm sorry. At least it's basketball season.
Maybe next year.
At least it's basketball season.
Four and four after tonight's loss.
Tonight's going to be a bloodbath, Brady. This is going to be MSU at Duke. It's like MSU playing the Sixers. It's going to be a tough one.
So in Brady's world, you see no way at all that Michigan gets one of those four spots.
No, because if Colorado beats Washington, then that opens the door for either Oklahoma or Oklahoma State and or Colorado. I think those teams get in over, and if both Virginia Tech and Colorado win, then I think Colorado and Oklahoma go. I don't think a committee or the Big Ten champion. The only way Michigan gets in is if they take three Big Ten teams, and they're not going to do that.
I could see them if the perfect storm does happen, where Colorado wins and Virginia Tech wins, and let's just for fun throw out Oklahoma State wins in there. I think Michigan does sneak in there because this is still, I mean, yeah, Michigan's a good team. It's still a business too. That's ratings gold right there. If you can get them back, I mean, that's the biggest fan base out there. So
yeah, and that's the other thing for me. Money talks.
Yeah.
Which is why we get the SEC shoved down our throat. Yep. They wouldn't have any problem putting four teams from that league into the playoff if they could get away with it.
Right.
So I don't people watch Michigan. People want to see Jim Harbaugh. People like to hear Jim Harbaugh talk.
That's why the national media is clamoring for it, too. I mean, you know, they want it. They want those higher page clicks, too. I mean,
it's Michigan hasn't played well in about a month. Yeah. Iowa, they looked awful. They didn't get a first down in either fourth quarter of Iowa and Ohio State.
Well, that was the refs' fault, though, in the Ohio State game. The refs held them from getting a first down in the fourth quarter.
If you want to play the refs game, Oklahoma State should be 11-1, and exactly. Then they'll be in the playoffs. So if anyone who complains about the refs just doesn't want to talk about any other part of the game, and trust me, Matt, I know you feel the same way I do.
Brady, my man.
Yeah, Ohio State was handing them the game on a silver platter. Neither team played well. Ohio State fans will look at the fourth quarter on and say, yeah, we played well then, but the offense was non-existent for three quarters. Michigan has not played well in over 3 weeks.
It was like Ohio State was playing with eight players on offense for the first three quarters of that game. I mean, they couldn't move the ball to save their lives. And when they eventually did, their kicker, I think he kicked with his wrong foot on those two field goals.
I know. Like seriously, Ohio State gives them 6 points with the missed field goals. Yeah. They fumble on the one, Michigan does. Michigan throws a pick six. Like, you're not going to win that game. It shouldn't have come down to the refs. Ohio State should have lost by 20.
Yeah. But hey, here we are. Here we are today.
Yeah, here we are.
Now, let me loft you this one, Brady. Could you see Michigan getting the 4 seed tonight in the college football playoff rankings just to get some buzz out there? I mean, I could see it being 1 Alabama, 2 Ohio State, 3 Clemson, 4 Michigan, 5 Washington. That just so all this banter continues for how many more days? Five more days?
Yeah, I can see math, it right? Because yeah. They put Texas A&M with one loss over Washington earlier in the year.
Good time. Wow, A&M was in the top five. That's right. Good times.
They were the top four at one point.
Wow, what a time to be alive that was.
Oh, I know, but I could see that maybe, but I honestly think Michigan has zero chance because there are more deserving teams, and if they get in, I think they're essentially saying conference championships don't mean anything.
Right, yeah.
You finish third in your division, and you're making the playoff.
That'd be quite the precedent to set, too, if someone's third in a division.
That's why I don't think Ohio State should get in, even though they will get in.
Yeah.
Yes, they're 11-1, and they've played well, but you didn't win your division. You lost a key game to Penn State. Sometimes you just have a tough schedule.
And they only beat MSU by one, too, if I could rag on my own team here for a little bit. If you beat MSU just by 1 point, put that in the loss column. Come on. They should have lambasted them.
Here's the thing, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, guys.
Sweet.
But you mentioned if you lost that one game to Penn State.
Right.
How can you reward Penn State for winning that one game? Let's flip that coin. Mm-hmm. You're Penn State. What have you really done? Yeah, you won one game against Ohio State. What if you got lucky that day?
Right.
Well, that's
I mean,
just
it's not
sport.
Like they beat Ohio State 65-0 and proved their dominance. Yeah, they got a fluky win.
Yeah, program win, definitely.
Right. That's look. Iowa could have gotten lucky against Michigan. It just happens. That's part of sports. And if you just want to count luck into things, well, then USC is going to be in the playoff if you just want to go by that. So,
well, I just want to go by what are the four best teams. And again, this is just my opinion. In the four best teams, Wisconsin and Penn State aren't there. And Ohio State, Michigan might be.
Michigan's offense would have like negative 50 yards if they played Alabama right now.
I mean, so did Michigan State's, but it doesn't mean the Spartans didn't deserve to be in the top four last year.
Yeah, hey, we
that's
had a fun
true,
time there
but
too.
I mean, you lost two of your last three games. You're not playing for a conference championship. And I just don't see a scenario where they get in. Even if everything falls in a line, I would give them very slim odds.
Because going back, I do think that Wisconsin is as good as Michigan and Ohio State. I really do. I mean, I think they proved it, too, throughout the course of the season, is, you know, barely losing to Michigan with a fairly new quarterback, too, on the road. I mean, I think that was his second or third start ever in college. So he's more mature now. And, of course, that overtime game. And yeah, I'm pointing out two losses here, but, I mean, it's as good as losses can get considering the circumstances. So I think Wisconsin is up there. I think if they win the Big Ten championship game, they have the case. Penn State, though, I don't know.
I also have to point out, Brady, that you are going up against a guaranteed, because DJ's prediction number 5, U of M football will play for a national title this season.
Well, the guaranteed was fun while it lasted, wasn't it?
Ouch.
Can't believe you just slammed a guaranteed.
He got one.
He got one right. Michigan State will not finish in the top 10 this season. He got the Lions one wrong because he said they'd go 6-10, fire Jim Caldwell and hire Jim Bob Cooter as the next head coach. And
right.
With 7 wins, that one's out the window.
Yeah.
I believe he also had Northern beating PH this year.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well,
so
I didn't say he was smart.
Yeah, the guarantee doesn't hold much weight anymore.
Steven Strasburg, too.
Oh, yeah, so... Yeah, guaranteed does not hold a lot of weight. I honestly think if Michigan gets in, even if Ohio State gets in, that's not as bad, but I still think it's a dangerous precedent to set.
I just think conference championship games are overrated. I think the Big Ten should be one 16-team division, and the top two teams play each other.
So bloodbath.
So like how the Big 12 is going to do it, where they just have – they play their round robin, and then they have a conference championship game after that.
Yeah, why not?
They put themselves in that situation, though, with only having, what, 10 teams now, I believe, or however many teams they have.
Yeah, the Big Ten has 16, and the Big 12 has less than 12.
Yeah. Right. Although, I don't know if you can count 10 for the does Kansas count as a team? Or does Rutgers count as a team in the Big Ten? As far as I'm concerned, Big Ten only has 13 teams, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, Rutgers, I honestly don't think would win the MAC.
Oh, my God, no. No, no, no. Are you kidding me?
No,
the boat would get rowed right over them. Yeah, that'd be.
Wayne State
could beat Rutgers, I think.
I honestly don't know if they would make the FCS playoff.
No, I would. I mean, I know we're spitballing here. Maybe this is exaggerating, but I don't think so. I mean, that's a bad team. MSU beat them 49-0. Do you know how hard that is to lose to this year's MSU team by that much?
Between four games, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State, they lost like a combined 240
right.
to nothing.
That's a great stat. Oh, man.
Like, seriously, if Wayne State rolled out there, if we rolled out there and played those four teams, I guarantee you we get at least a field goal.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I believe in you guys, yeah. Don't sell yourself short. I say a touchdown. Not just a field goal.
Someone falls down, we might get a touchdown.
Yeah.
Someone falls down.
Yeah. So we could also say that Rutgers won't make the college football playoff, too. Can we also?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
I will not argue that point with you guys.
Hot take right there.
Yeah, that's a guarantee. I'm going to make myself one for one. That's all I'm saying, too.
Guarantee. I like that. You got to do an article now.
I only do ice cold takes, like takes that are no-brainers. You know what? Yeah, DJ, I agree. MSU won't finish in the top 10 this year. Boom. I'm 2 for 2 now. That's right. That's great.
A guarantee.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Are you going to guarantee Alabama will be in the playoffs?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll throw that one on there, too.
Right.
I think the Cowboys will make the playoffs as well in the NFL.
Wow.
So we could do this all day. This is great.
I'm just going to wait until you make one of these and then it just falls flat on its face. And
yeah.
I'm going to guarantee that I'm going to say goodbye to you guys. Brady, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. And Matt, thanks for stopping by
today. Thanks for letting me on the radio again. This is a crazy, crazy thing. You keep letting me do this.
We enjoy it. I'll see you tonight at girls basketball, which, by the way, I'll tell you about when we come back in just a minute. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show.